Psalm chapter 9, or Psalm 9. Again, a song of David. Has some of the same flavor. It's quite long. It talks about the sad things, the challenging things that he deals with. We're focusing on just two verses for tonight. 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in your name. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Few words that I emphasize as you heard me read it. The first thought that I was struck by is, I will praise you, O Lord, with my, the Hebrew says, the whole, my entire being, my whole heart. And as God speaks this word to us through David, David is understanding something very, very important right here. And he's expressing something that sets us free, because whatever portion of our heart we hold back, whatever portion of our heart refuses to praise God, whatever portion of our heart is limiting or being limited by our hurt, our pain, our anxiety, our worry, our stress, or our frustration, that portion of our heart always remains unhealed, unrefreshed, untouched by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so David says, I will, and this is a determination. You got to hear this. I have determined, okay? I have chosen. I will cast my praise upon God, and I will invest my entire heart, my everything into that praise. And in order to do that, there has to be that walking away, that laying down, that letting go, that comes from that concept of my whole heart. And that's what David says. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And then he says something very similar to what I shared with you last time from Psalm 40, the psalm that he wrote. And he says, I will recount. I will bring to my remembrance. I will lay them in an orderly fashion. I will set them out in front of me. I will reckon them. I'll tally them up. It's kind of like I will begin to walk down and remember and consciously slow down until I'm overwhelmed by the remembrance. He says, I will recount and remember and tally all of your wonders. And that word wonders has so many different meanings to it. All the extraordinary things you've done, all the impossibly difficult things for me to even understand, things I can hardly comprehend. Work that you did that I didn't see until it was all over, or didn't see till I looked back later in my life. And so he says, I'm going to recount those. I'm going to put them in line. I'm going to stack them up. I'm going to recall them when I'm going to praise you as I do that process, okay? Then in verse 2, he says, I will be glad. And the word glad is to be giddy. I don't know if you've ever seen high school girls sometimes. I can't do it very well, but you know what I mean. And I always go, oh, like this. Not too bad. But they get giddy. I mean, they're so happy. They're like they're dancing in place, and they're just kind of jiggling all over and wiggling around, and all that stuff. That's what this is. So I was wrong. They were right. So the next time you see them giggling or jumping around, join them. That's what it says. I'm going to be bouncing around, and I am going to be rejoicing. I am going to sing a song of triumph, a victory dance, for lack of a better. You're kind of a football guy. You just go, hey, yeah, you know, after they score the touchdown, the victory dance, if that helps you, okay? And he says, I'm going to rejoice, and then he phrases the next thought, in you. You see, one of the things you have to understand is you're going to experience no joy, no confidence, no change of heart until you understand that all of these things flow out of this connection with a resting of my faith in you. Not in the conditions or the behaviors of my president, my boss, my spouse, my children, any other circumstance around me, I am going to be dancing and bubbling. I am going to be celebrating in the end zone because I will trust in you. I am setting my heart on you. I'm focusing, Lord, in you, trusting what you're going to do. And he finishes it off, I will sing praise. I will sing praise, it says, to your name. And by sing praise here, it implies this kind of musical, I'm going to strum the strings of my heart, my voice. They're just going to be exploding with the presence of your presence or your love in my life. Now, I'm going to share my story with you. This is my moment of testimony. You remember my one class I shared with you that kind of chewed me up that one day? I shared with, I don't know if you were in that church service or not, but I shared that I had one class that was just in one of those moods, and they were in a mood to chew me up, and that was my sixth-hour class. And there was a girl in there that said, don't talk to him. He's just hardened his heart. It's not going to repent or change his mind or anything. That one, do you remember? Is this coming back to at least some of you? Nod. Give me an amen. Thank you. All right. Well, today, sixth-hour class. Pastor Harmon, Holy Spirit told me last night we're supposed to do church. I look at this kid. I said, are you sure it was that spirit? Okay, because he was saucy. Well, maybe. The next one comes up. Well, I think we really need to do church, Pastor Harmon. Next one comes up. So what they're doing, there's either a church or a quiz. Okay? So please understand, I'm not so old that I can't figure out their motives. So I'm going, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? I said, go sit down. And I just sit down and I get really serious up there and do church. Oh, okay, Lord. That was the Lord telling me that. And so I get my kids, they sit in a circle. And the Lord gave me some songs to lead them in. And we sang. And they sang. And then after about five of the songs that we had sung, I got quiet and I set my guitar down and I said, all right, what's the church got to say today? And the church began to open up. And it was work, but it wasn't work. And all of a sudden, one kid goes, I don't know if many of you know it, but my dad was diagnosed with cancer in December. And chemotherapy is really hard on him right now. And this is one of my children with attitude. And he's opening up about his heart and his dad. And he's talking about the fact that my dad has discovered that he's not going to live forever. And he said, I also discovered, I thought my dad had lived to 110. And the whole class is quiet. And the Spirit begins to work. And another kid begins to share, and he shares something, and another one. And then toward the end of the time, I had one of my kids, he said, I'd like to share something God's really been ministering to me with and about. And I said, well, go ahead. And he said, God's been really ministering to me through a song. And I want to sing it to you. This is one of my 16-year-old boys, okay? And kids are on my one side of some of his friends. Oh, don't sing, don't sing. All right? I said, if you want to sing, you go right ahead and sing. And he opens up his mouth, and he sings this solo over us about, I don't want to be anymore like I used to be. I want instead to be a child of yours, Lord. I want my life to change and be new. And he sings this song, and there's those words, and I can't remember the exact words of the song. The words are just pouring out in flawless melody. Flawless melody. This is one of my somewhat quiet kids. And he's singing this song over the entire class. And the Holy Spirit's working and moving. And God's whispering to me, Bruce, see, I don't need you. And I go, I want to rejoice over that. You understand? It's when you finally recognize, here's this class where you go, oh, God, I think I lost them. I'm not sure. And all the different emotions that you have when something doesn't go quite the way you want it to. And I'm a little gun-shy and all the different things. And God takes that moment of obedience, and he takes that young man and he sets him up as a fire of testimony, sings over the whole class, and the whole class is quiet. And I close this, the end of the hour, the class hour, with the words of that song and the prayer. And I thanked him and I praised him, and the class applauded him. And I'm going, here's my sixth hour that were ready to string me up the one day. And maybe justifiably so. And here's the Holy Spirit going, don't you ever give up on any of my kids. Go, oh, Lord, how hard that is. But I want you to understand, I'll tell you of the wonders of God because they overwhelm me. I am stunned by what God can do from the mouth of a kid who I didn't even anticipate being able to do that. And just anointed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, he opens up his mouth and he sings. If I could have picked the song myself, I couldn't have done that. I just wouldn't have been able to pick it, because it had power. It was coming from one of their very own. It was a confession of God's call upon his own heart and his own walk. It was being sung over each man and young man and woman in that classroom, and it was being sung over me. And I was singing the prayer with him. And so as I closed off with the prayer, I knew what God was trying to get me to understand. So I go, one of the things that we have to be able to do is to recall and tally and consider. And so I thought I would like to just give you an opportunity as a smaller group tonight to give God glory, to celebrate a miracle of God's presence in your life, a work that he's done, as it says there, something where you invest and you speak of his extraordinary, difficult to understand, difficult to do power that's beyond what you can finally know and anticipate. And maybe you have your own little testimony, your own word, and we don't have to have a ton of them, or we have to have no one. But if you're willing to do that, I would be very glad to just let you share right from where you're at and just share with the congregation. So I'm asking, have you got something to tally in God's scorecard that you want to give God glory for? Something where God's worked in your life.
Well, I have to say, this is quite a timely message to have. Today I went and met with one of my five doctors that I meet with, and it's my pain specialist. And in anticipation of this appointment, I knew that I would have to go one day without my pain medication. And so I knew that it was not going to be possible for me to drive to my appointment. And so asked a couple of people, but they were not available. And I kept saying, okay, Lord, you're going to open up that door. I just don't know where it's going to be opened. And over the weekend, I just happened to make my new neighbor some bread. And so I took it over. And my neighbor was talking about how on Wednesday he was going into town because he needed to see a chiropractor. And so I just happened to ask him at what time that appointment would be at. And his appointment was at 10:30, and my appointment was at 10 o'clock. So he could drop me off, go to his appointment, and then be back in time to pick me up. And I marvel every day at what God does for me and for my family to make sure that everything falls right into place exactly at the time it's supposed to happen.
My dad has been going through a lot of testing, and he has a lot of anxiety, and that anxiety has been wearing on everybody. Goes down to my mom and to all the kids, and trickles. And it just so happened, after Wednesday, I talked to him on Thursday, and I said, yeah, our pastor last night had this really great sermon. He goes, oh, really? Which pastor? I said, oh, Pastor Bruce. He goes, oh, what did he say? So I was telling him all about it and the whole Pollyanna thing. And I remember having a conversation with him once a long time ago, and he's like, you know what, you have a Pollyanna complex. So, but he didn't say that this time. And I don't know, it wasn't anything real deep, but I was able to switch it around and use the example of the pastor with the damnation kind of thing. Death comes unexpectedly. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that part. And I said, but isn't it great that we don't have to fear death because of what Jesus did on the cross? And I've been looking for, like, a little opportunity to remind him of that. And that was it. So thank you.
Walked out and said they want to go rent that movie. I said, good. I have it on VCR. Yeah, if you feel like. Yeah, absolutely.
Sunday night, went into jail ministry, and there were eight women that showed up, and six of them were new. And it just went off on its own. The Lord so had that night planned, and I kind of didn't know what we were going to do. I just knew we were going to go through Scripture, and we just started going through Scripture, and one of them really spoke to me, and I said to the women, and they're so much fun. I love these ladies anyway, but I said, oh, I love that. That's one of my favorite songs, and they said, well, sing it to us. I'm like, oh, okay. So I sang it, and then one woman said, well, I have a favorite song. And another lady said, I have a favorite song. And another lady said, I have a favorite song. So at the end, they all sang their favorite song to us. And what was really amazing is the woman sitting, well, and as the night progressed, there was one woman in the corner. She had holy tears coming down her face. And then another woman, she was in tears. Then another lady, it was her first day in that pod. And she's about my age. And she was crying, and I realized that those were Holy Spirit tears, that they weren't anything that I should get upset that I was like saying something that like ticked them off or something. It was, they were holy tears. And then as we got done and all the women started singing their songs over us, one woman sitting next to me named Tiffany, she was telling me how she thinks she's going to get released in a couple weeks, and her goal is to stay with Jesus 2 seconds at a time, not one day at a time, not an hour at a time, but 2 seconds at a time. And I told her that God would really honor those 2 seconds each day. I mean, 2 seconds a day. He would honor all those 2 seconds. And anyway, when the singing got done, she was just crying. And she said, I have never, ever felt like this. She goes, there's something different right now. And Punkin, who is a real character, she goes, oh, child, that's the Holy Spirit all over you. And it was just really amazing. It was so beautiful. I went home. I don't even know what happened. I don't even know basically half the conversation because it was so, everything that was coming out of my mouth was from the Lord. But it was amazing. But what was really a blessing is that two of the ladies have court date tomorrow on the 13th. And I said, oh, that's my birthday. Well, they, at the end, Punkin goes, we can't leave Miss Diane go without singing happy birthday. So they sang a Stevie Wonder version, which was really fun because I'm rocking away. And then they sang regular. And then when they're all standing in line, I leave. And they're all standing in line to get patted down. And they're just waving and saying, we can't wait to see you next week or next time. And I'm like, that was such a blessing to me that, I mean, just even being sung happy birthday by these women, I drove home and I'm like, Lord, I'm just so amazed that you put me in that position with these ladies. I'm just really thankful. So,
just to help you understand the
the group that she's been seeing in prison has been like one or two ladies for a long time, for a while. And so God's really just opening up a door, and then none for a little while. And so God's just really opening up a door to have six new ladies come. And she's shared with me that in prison, in the jail there, that they have as many as 30 and 35 women that meet every night for prayer before they go to bed. And the prison, the guards were really kind of getting upset with them, and finally they backed off. And they said, what are you going to do, throw us in jail if we pray now?
They told them they were not for holding hands and praying.
But they still continued to pray. And so there's this a work of the Holy Spirit, and he'll start wherever he wants to. And kind of a neat testimony. Was a hand up there or that I missed you? Are you Parent Jan? Okay.
Christmas 1990, our whole family went to church at my mom's church, and we're singing all the Christmas carols, and I looked up at the altar, and I saw this picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, holding the sheep in his hand. And all of a sudden, I heard him say, I will protect you. And for a long time, I thought, what's going to happen? But then I realized that after different incidents that, yes, he was just being my loving Savior, protecting me as I walk around Waukesha. And one time I was getting ready to cross a difficult intersection in Oliver, and I heard a car screeching, so I stopped, and then I heard someone say, no, it's okay, go ahead. When I got across, I looked back, and there was no one there, and I thought, wow, you know. And then that happened another time, but the best one was when we lived where I had to cross Racine Avenue by the bypass, and I'd always, when I got off the bus, then I'd always say, well, Lord, help me get across safely, and I did half at each side of the traffic individually. And I'm waiting and waiting for traffic to go away, and all of a sudden a guy came up behind me and he says, can I help you on a cross? And I said, oh, please. And so he helped me, and I thanked him, and I said, oh, you know, bless you, this is. And we got across, and then I started going up my street, and I turned around to say something else to him, and I looked, and he wasn't there. And I went, whoa, Lord, you're always there protecting me. So now whenever I go out, I always say, please go with me, Lord. And when I get home, I say, thank you. We're back safe.
I'm going to share a little secret about Jan. Years ago, when she found out I have people pray in church and talk out loud, we sat down, we were just chatting. She said, no, Bruce, I'll never.
Well, as many of you know, my mom just was in the hospital, and we were up for probably about 30 hours. I was getting kind of worn out and wanting to go home, but worried about leaving her and seeing her there, and I was doing some grumbling to the Lord. You know, why this way? Why all the tubes again? You know, couldn't you just take her easily? Why has she got to suffer? But then they introduced the nurse that was going to sit with her throughout the night, and she and I started talking a little bit, and she brought up the word, your mom was talking about pastor. I said, well, my brother's a pastor. She said, well, so's my dad. And we talked a little more, and I just got this peace over me, and it's like, I can go home and sleep. God's got this woman in good hands here. He reminded me of Jim's testimony. He's got another of those puzzle pieces already in place. And the next day when I came back, this same woman was there, and the nurse that had been on duty with her, and they said, yeah. The woman said, I'd been praying with your mom. And the other one said, yeah, she was singing Jesus Love Me, so I sang along with her. I'm like, Lord, you double-teamed her. So that night before I left, this same girl was there, and we'd been talking. It was just the two of us in the room and sharing about our faith and things. And I said, would you mind praying with mom with me before I go? So we stood together, each on her bedside, and this woman and I, we anointed Mom with oil because we talked about how she was familiar with that too. And we prayed together, and this woman had words that she gave that only she could be able to give to me that came from the Lord, not from her. And it just, it turned my grumbling into praise. I just danced out of there that night. So God is good, and he's always with us.
Smart enough to know and know me well enough now that when I finish preaching, sometimes people go, "Did you have that sermon? Did you write it down? Did you?" I said no, and they said, "Could you do it again?" I said no, and I said, "You know, well, my dad's funeral." Off, and I was getting blessed and preaching, and I was being overwhelmed by what the Lord was doing in my life and in my heart on that evening. And the people would get done and say, "Did you tape that?" "No." "Did you write it down?" "No." "Do you remember what you said?" "No." So I'm going, "Oh, Becky, you understand. This is so nice, and thank you so much."
And then, like Harmon's style, I set it somewhere. So I get, "Becky, can you send me another copy?" And she does, and I gave it to my mom. And Mom has been sending it to her brothers and her sisters. And they're calling her back, and Mom has got this unbelievable witness and testimony and sharing. I just get overwhelmed by what God does through the gift of you, through the work of the people in our lives, and for the blessings we have. Pray with me. Here we go. He has made me glad. Therefore, I will rejoice. There is nothing that can stop the love and the power and the grace and the mercy of God. There is nothing that can take away the gladness if my heart is set upon him. And Lord, for the brothers and sisters, for the testimonies offered tonight, for the testimonies yet to be shared, for the opportunities to be celebrating the innumerable ways that you bless every one of the people. And so many of our children and our children's children. I thank you for that tonight. And I'm praying that there would be a continuous flow of your gladness into our hearts, that it would overwhelm us, that we would be set on fire with great joy, and that we would move in the power and obedience of your Spirit, so that in all things we would begin to tally, keep track, add up all those glorious works that you do around us every day. I thank you for the sharing. I thank you for these brothers and sisters. And I ask your blessing over each one of them. Bring your healing over us, Lord. Bring the power and work of your Holy Spirit into this fellowship. And continue to pour it out through the gifts of these men, women, and children. And let this be a place of blessing and healing and grace and joy, in accordance with your will. And we pray this all in your name, and God's people said, Amen.